All right. Morning at today's daf in Menachos is Yud Beis. We are in Yud Alf Amud Beis. We are starting today. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. It's about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Just a reminder from the Mishnah from yesterday. The Mishnah Yud Alf Amud Aleph. Ketziru Osa. How do you do the Kamitza? Poshe says Bosava Pasiado. And so what you do is you cup your fingers over your hand. Yesterday we spent the duration, the majority of yesterday's daf, talking about the actual performance of the Kamitza. And and that was before the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah just simply said casually that you put your fingers over your hand in order to get the kamitza. Riba shmena chasr shmena chisa levanta psula. And then the Mishnah goes on to inform us that if it's too much oil, too little oil, so then it's going to be pasul. And as far as the levona is concerned, too little levona is going to be pasul. And in yesterday's daf, we talked about oil pasuling, meaning for every mincha, it is a standard, regardless of how much flour is being put in, with a maximum amount of flour of 60 yisaron, 60 yisronim, so the, or yisronos, either way, so with a maximum of 60, so it's always going to be one log of oil. That's the standard amount of oil that's put into every mincha. So you can't have too much and you can't have too little, you have to have one log. And as far as the lavona is concerned, so if you're mechaster on the lavona, if there's any of the lavona missing, so then it's going to be pasul, as we described yesterday. But just a quick reiteration, as far as the lavona is concerned, so that's frankincense. It's ground up mineral. It's a spice. Yesterday the Iranians were telling me that very very popular in Iran to burn it. So the lavona was ground up. And it was sprinkled on the top of a mincha. In other words, after the flour and oil were mixed together, so then you had a layer of lavona that was sprinkled on top. And as far as the lavona is concerned, so it has to be a requisite amount. What is the amount? So we learned in yesterday's daf, it's a kamitza, meaning it's actually a fistful of lavona that goes on top. And the Mishnah says that if you're chasr on the lavona, so it's going to be pasul. And when we talked about the psul of chasr by lavona, so yesterday we pointed out that everyone's in agreement that to begin with, you need a full kamitza of lavona to go on top. That everyone agrees to. As far as how much you need at the end, so we saw that to be a machlokus, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's a three-way machlokus amongst three to nine. Rav Meir is of the opinion that you have to have a kamitza both in the beginning and at the end, even as you collect the lavona and burn the lavona on the top of the mizbeach. By the way, the lavona, together with the kamitza of the flour and oil, are burnt on the top of the mizbeach. So according to Rav Meir, this is Rav Yochanan's understanding. According to Rav Meir, you have to have a kamitza of lavona both at the beginning and the end. According to Rav Yehuda, you have to have a kamitza at the beginning, but only two kernels of lavona at the very end. And Rabbi Shimon, who's the most lenient, says that you have to have a kamitza in the beginning, but even one granule of lavona at the end would be okay. Anyway, those are the three opinions in terms of the lavona. We are now in the Gemara, just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Yud Alf Amud Beis, I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rav Yochanan, another statement made in the name of Rav Yochanan. The entire debate over here is lavona that's coming in conjunction with the mincha, meaning classically, the lavona is one of the matirin of a standard mincha. But let's say a person wants to donate lavona by itself. So there, the shear of kamitza, a fistful of lavona, has to be a shear both in the beginning and at the end when lavona is coming in of itself. And in fact, this is exactly how we darshan the pasuk. Asher al hamincha tells us that when are we allowed to be lenient in terms of how much lavona is left over at the end? That's only with the lavona in conjunction with the standard mincha, but lavona on its own. So you have to have the shear of komet both in the beginning and the end. Another statement. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, machlokes b'lavona abay memincha. That is only the only debate that we have over here is lavona that comes together in conjunction with a mincha. As far as the lavona that comes in the two spoonfuls, right? We go over this numerous times now in this masechta. The lechem aponim has with it placed on top of it two spoonfuls of lavona. One spoon on one column of the lechem aponim. That's a column of six, and another spoon on the other column of six. Of the lechem upon him. And what's going to happen on Shabbos is that the two spoonfuls are taken off the top of the two columns, and they are going to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach, and the two spoonfuls of lavona are the matir for the lechem upon him. In fact, and I know if we just say it enough times, you'll get it, the two spoonfuls of lavona are the komets of the lechem upon him. It serves as the kmitza of the lechem upon him. Unlike a standard mincha where the kohen's going to actually take his hand and put it into the flour and oil in order to take out the kometz, it happens to be that with the lechem upon him, the kometz is pre-prepared, meaning it is the two spoonfuls of the levona which serve as the kmitza for the lechem upon him. So this statement of Rabbi Yochanan is that when it comes to these two spoonfuls of the levona, so I need in the beginning two full spoonfuls of levona, meaning when I say full, I mean each one comprised of a kmitza, and at the end, each one of them also being comprised of each one of them in kmitza at the end as well. Now the Gemara says, now after having learned the first statement of Rav Yochanan, this second statement of Rav Yochanan seems to be unnecessary. Pshita. So the Gemara over here introduces us to the Havamina. The Havamina would have been, look, I might have thought that these two spoonfuls that come in conjunction with the lechem upon him, so we're going to treat it like a kmitza, meaning we do treat it like a kmitza. It is like a kmitza. And so therefore we learned that when you have a levona that comes in conjunction with a mincha, so you're allowed to be lax at the end, meaning you don't need the full kmitza of levona at the end, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Shimon. So I might have thought that the same thing which would be true by the two spoonfuls of levona that come in conjunction with the lechem upon him. Good. That's the Havamina. And the Maskana, of course, is no. That I need the two spoonfuls of levona, both in the beginning and at the end. Pligi bar Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, charamar machlokes b'levona ba'a m'mincha, v'b'levona ba'a b'fnei atzma, devra kol komitz b'tchil v'komitz b'sof. This statement that we just learned by Rabbi Yochanan, subject to a machlokes amongst other Amoraim. Some are in perfect alignment with Rabbi Yochanan, like we just read, and v'charamar ke machlokes b'zu, kach machlokes b'zu. And another Amora, the Gemara doesn't say which one says which position, but another Amora says no. Just like we had a three-way machlokas previously, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of how much levona do I need at the end of the mincha, meaning when finally collecting the levona off the top of the mincha. So two granules, one granule. So just like we have a machlokas over there with levona coming in conjunction with a mincha, we also have the same machlokas even if the levona is being offered in of itself. Okay, adkan. Chiser levonta psula, says the Mishnah, that if I'm lacking of any of the levona, it's going to be pasul. Now, you notice as you read the Mishnah, it's a simple diuk, that when the Mishnah introduces us to Lavona, the Mishnah is only focusing on what if you have too little Lavona. The Mishnah doesn't talk about not having too much Lavona. When it comes to oil, the Mishnah is very clear. The amount of oil that you need is a log, no more, no less. But when it comes to Lavona, the Mishnah says that if you're chaser on the Lavona, that's no good. What if you have too much Lavona? The Mishnah doesn't mention anything about that. The Gemara comments. So the Gemara says, Chisa Lavonta Psula Ha Yasuk Shera. So the Gemara says, now what does that mean? It means that if you have, let's say, excess Lavona on the top, that's okay. The Gemara says, Va'atanya, Yasir Psula. We have a Braisa. The Braisa says that too much Lavona is also no good. Meaning the amount of Lavona that you need is an objective amount. And I say objective, by the way, it's a fistful, which, again, is going to be dependent on the size of the Kohen and the size of the Kohen's hand. But still, it's an amount. It's a shear. So what are you telling me that the Mishnah's implication is that too much is okay, but that's not true. The Braisa states very clearly, too much is not okay. So Amarami Barchama Kagon Shehifrish Lashnikamatsim. So the Gemara gives an example where maybe what you did is you were mafrish two kamatsim. And that's what the Braisa is talking about, and that's too much. If let's say two fistfuls of Lavona were set aside, excuse me, and I lost one of them, and this was done before the Kometz, that's okay. We already had this discussion a couple days ago in the Daf. What exactly is the Koveya? Meaning, when are we locked into the Mincha? So we actually had two opinions that we saw earlier in the Masechta. One is either at the time when you put it into the Klisharis, or the other is when you're doing the actual Kemitza. That's when everything gets locked in. The Gemara over here in the name of Rami Barcham is teaching us that the time that the Mincha gets locked in, its Koveya, is at the time of Kemitza. So if, let's say, two fistfuls of Lavona were set aside, but I lost one of them, and this happens before the Kemitza, we're fine. But in other words, if this were to occur after the kmitza, so then it's locked in. And that wouldn't be good because now you have an excess amount of Lavona. Let's say you had four kamatzim set aside for the two spoonfuls of Lavona. Now each spoonful only needs one fistful. So by setting aside four, so you've set aside two too many. So the So if let's say we lost two of them before the spoons were set up, so lo hukva la'achar stilik bazikin, but after the spoons were, sorry, not set up, but removed. After the spoons have been removed, hukva. So at that point in time, so now it's locked in. We're going to say this again this morning. The removal of the two spoonfuls is dome, it's ke'ilu. You are doing the kemitza of a standard mincha. Those two spoons are like the komitz of a standard mincha. So in other words, by the lechem apanim, the removal of the two spoons, that sets the koveya, that locks in your mincha. So as long as you lose the two additional fistfuls before siluk habezichin, you're fine. Hasulam ali hainuhach, the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, you're just basically repeating the same halacha, you're just applying it now to the lechem apanim. So ma'u detema kevin de barer komitz dida, kevin shegiyaz mana laporka kaman de prika damya kamash malan. And the Gemara introduces us to a havam, and we saw this argument also earlier in the Masechta, and that is, look, by a kemitza of a standard mincha, where's the kumitz coming from? And the answer is, we don't know. Meaning we know it's coming from somewhere in the mincha, but we don't know where it's coming from. So it's I can understand how doing a kemitza on a standard mincha is the koveya, because we don't know exactly where it's coming from. Meaning, we know it's coming from the bowl. We know it's coming from this flour and this oil. But where exactly is it coming from? We don't know. And so therefore, the kemitza is going to lock it in. But in other words, by the lechem upon him, where I'm looking at the kemitza is the two spoonfuls of Lavona sitting on the top of the two columns of the lechem upon him. So I'm looking right at it. So you're asking me, where's the kumitz coming from? There's no surprises. It's not a secret. It's those two spoonfuls on top. So one could make the argument that unlike a standard mincha where the kumitz is the koveya because it's an actual decision being made, where's the kumitz coming from? But as opposed to the lechem apanim, I'm looking right at it. There is the kumitz right there. It's on the top. It's those two spoons. So one could make the argument that it's ke'ilu, it's as if the kumitz has already been done, and the chiddush is, no. The removal of the bezichim from the two columns, that actually is the kemitza, and before that, it's not locked in. Okay, adkan. That takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. Informally, but that's basically the yesterday's daf at its conclusion, and now we begin today's daf. We start with our Mishnah. And we knew this was coming, it was just a question of when, and it hits early here in Menachos. So Daf Yud Beis and Menachos is now the reintroduction of Pegel. I told you, Menachos is a companion to Zvachim. You learn Zvachim, and Menachos is going to fly. You didn't learn Zvachim, Menachos is going to be, you know, it's going to be a little bit tricky. But over here now, we reintroduce ourselves to Pegel. So let's all reintroduce ourselves quickly. I'm not going to belabor this, but we enter back into the world of Pigel. As we have already established in the beginning of our Masechta, when it comes to the four avodas of a mincha, so it corresponds to the four avodas of the dam of a karban. Shechting of a karban is analogous to the kemitza of of the mincha. The kabbalas adam of a karban is analogous to taking the kometz and putting it into a kli sheni. What we refer to numerous times throughout this Masechta as Kiddush HaKometz. Then, holacha, bringing the blood over to the Mizbeach, corresponds to holacha, the bringing over the Kometz to the Mizbeach. And finally, the sprinkling of the blood corresponds to the burning of the Kometz on the top of the Mizbeach. So the four avodas of a karban are complementary or parallel to the four avodas of a mincha. We have already established back in Zvachim that if doing one of the four avodas, the Kohen has a machshava, he has a thought, and let's say, just for simplicity's sake, that he articulates the thought. It's not just that he thinks it, but he also has to spell it out. He has to articulate that I plan on consuming this karban either beyond its allotted time or beyond its allotted space. So this is now a disqualification of the karban, and this is what's called pigel. There is, as I described back in Masechta Zvachim, and I'm going to use the same terminology over here, there's major pigel and there's minor pigel. Major pigel is where the Kohen has a machshava of chutz zman. So once he violates the time consideration of the karban. Every karban has a time consideration, both the parts that go up onto the mizbech and the parts that are consumed by either the kohen or the owner. So if he says that I plan on either taking the part that goes on the mizbech and putting it on beyond its time, and beyond its time means tomorrow, meaning that in terms of the burning of the Imurim, or by an Ola, the burning of the Evarim, so you have all of today, and you have tonight. Tomorrow morning, it's already too late. And now it becomes disqualified. And when it comes to consuming a carbon, so it depends on the carbon. If Chatos and Asham, you have today and tonight. Same thing by carbon Toda. Standard Shlamim, you have today, tonight, and tomorrow, day. Tomorrow night already becomes Nosar. So if the Kohen, while doing one of the four Avodah, articulates that he's going to consume it, either he or the Mizbech, beyond its a lot of time, so this is what we would describe as Pigel Major, which means now that the animal will be disqualified with the disqualification of Pigel. Now, from this point going forward, anyone to come and consume from that animal, from that carbon, is subject to the Kari's penalty. We already made this clear numerous times in Zvachim. You don't get Kari's for creating Pigel. For that, there's an Isser, but you don't get Kari's for that. The Isser Kari's is for consuming the Pigel. Okay. When it comes now to, however, space consideration, where the Kohen articulates during one of the four Avodas that he's going to eat it outside the prescribed place, meaning by a Chatzas Hashem, it can only be eaten with the Azara. Kohen says it's going to eat it in Yerushalayim. Or by a Shlamim, you have the entire Yerushalayim to eat it. And he articulates during one of the four Avodas that he's going to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So that is now also Pigel, but it's Pigel Minor, meaning that the carbon is disqualified, but consuming the carbon over here does not result in a Kari's penalty. Kari's penalty is only for Chutzus Mano, not Chutzim Kamo. Okay, and that's basically it, meaning that's what we need to familiarize ourselves with. I'll tell you, I'm not going to go through them right now, but there are great Rashis on this Mishnah, right? The first couple of Rashis over here goes through all the drushas, right? I know we did this back in Zvachim, but if you want a review of the drushas, of how we arrived at all the conclusions, everything I just said, which is the basics, the ABCs of Pigel, so you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi goes through Taurus Kohanim, and he goes through the drushas, and I strongly encourage you to see the Rashis inside. Okay, with all that stated now, so what we're going to do in this Mishnah, it's a long Mishnah, but it's really straightforward. We're going to learn Pigel once again by Menachos, and really, this Mishnah over here is a repeat of everything we learned back in Zvachim, but we're just substituting, we're taking out carbon, and now we're just replacing with Mincha, but it's basically the same points. Just now, we're entering into the world of Menachos. We've entered it. We're almost finishing our second week of Menachos. Says the Mishnah. Hakomet says a mincha lechol shira b'chutz. If you do the kamitza of a mincha to eat the remaining parts of the mincha outside, o kezayis mishira b'chutz, or a kezayis of as a mincha lechol shira b'chutz, o kezayis mishira b'chutz, or not even the entire shirayim, even just the kezayis of the shirayim. So lahakta komsa b'chutz, to burn the kemitza outside, o kezayis komsa b'chutz, or even just the kezayis of the kemitza outside, o lahakta levonta b'chutz, or to burn the levona outside. So pasul v'yim b'kari. So this is all now chutzim kamo, meaning the articulation over here, the thought slash articulation of the kohen is to eat it or to consume it beyond its prescribed place. So now it's Pigel, but ain't Bokaris, but there's no Kari. So what I describe as minor Pigel, Pigel minor. Now, if, let's say, the Kohen articulates while doing the Kemitza, that he's going to eat the Shirayim tomorrow, or Kezayis of the Shirayim tomorrow, or to burn the Kemitza tomorrow, or Kezayis me comes to Lamachar, or even just a Kezayis of the Kemitza tomorrow. By the way, can I just make a small parenthetical? The Mishnah over here is just going to spell everything out. It's just going to, the Mishnah is going to here be very repetitive. I just want to make an observation, right? It's clear in the Mishnah, super clear, that existing in one kemitza is at least a kezayis, right? If not more, meaning a kezayis of the komitz. This is all just a parenthetical observation. Meaning, how big is a kezayis? So the post can debate. And exactly how big a kezayis is, and I'm not here to have an opinion on the matter, meaning or it's already been discussed and deliberated. But in other words, within a kemitza, you have at least one kezayis within a kemitza, because the Mishnah over here is talking about a kezayis of the komitz. So just, you know, give us some sort of visualization of how big a kezayis is.
Definition.
Yeah, how big a kezayis is. So in other words, again, this is not a psak, this is just an observation in the Mishnah. It's at, you know, maximum a fistful, not including your thumb and your pinky. But anyway.
Which is all because kazayit is objective.
Correct. Okay, anyway, sorry. I I couldn't help but making the observation, but let's just go on the Mishnah. Okay, Zayis mekomes to lamachar, or lahatir lavona lamachar, or to burn the lavona tomorrow. So pigel v'chayim alav kari. So these are examples now of pigel major, because over here the machshav is chutz mano, and therefore subject to the kares penalty. Okay, and again, just to clarify, I'll reiterate. Kares is not for creating the pigel. Kares is for eating it after now it is being converted into a carbon of pigel. Zehak, zehak.
By the same person.
No.
By the same person who made the kebab.
No. He made it. He doesn't. In other words, somebody else comes and eats it, so he'll be subject to kares.
No, he gets pigel?
Yeah.
No, he gets pigel.
You're only getting kares if you do it intentionally. Okay. Zehaklal. And we are now on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and so the Mishnah continues in the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah over here is going to be very repetitive, but again, the Mishnah is just really spelling everything out. Zaklal, this is a rule, called a kametz. So if you do kametza, and not just limited to kametza, no sim b'kli, or avoda number two, putting the kametz into another kli sharis, that's kiddush kametz, hamolich, moving the kametz over to the mizbeach, walking it over to the mizbeach, and hamaktir, or burning the kemitza on the top. So we just covered all four avodas. And over here, it's not and. The conjunction over here, don't put the word and in. It's or. Meaning if you have the machshava during any one of the avodas, lechol davar shadarchol lechol, and the intent is to eat something that is consumable, or lahakter davar shadarchol lahakter, or to burn something on the mizbech, which is appropriate to be burnt on the mizbech. Chutzim kamo, if the intent is to do so beyond its prescribed place, pasal vein bokares, and the Mishnah also adds the caveat, which we've seen already so many times in Svachim. But let's say it again, as we're learning now Menachos, the first time we're introduced to this idea of Menachos, and that is, it only becomes Pigel, it only materializes, as the formal disqualification of Pigel, only when the rest of the Avodas are done correctly. Pigel, it's so interesting that you can only create pigel only when you have a machshava and you go through with the rest of the avoda and only if it's done correctly. Rashi over here cites the catchphrase which we've seen so many times back in Zvachim. Karts, I'm reading the Rashi, the end of the Rashi of Avad. Rashi writes in the last lines, Kartzaz kasher kachartzaz pigel. Shelo yehebo shum pasal acher. Just like a kasher carbon is presented, so too the pigel carbon has to be presented as well in order for it to materialize as pigel. Okay, and so now that we have everything laid out, the Mishnah says, and here let me now walk you through this. What exactly would be examples where it materializes to become the psul of pigel, and when does it not become the psul of pigel? And let's also keep in mind, meaning when we talk about pigel, there are two varieties of pigel, two flavors of pigel. One is where it's kares, meaning it's chosim mano, and the other one is where it is not kares, where it's chosim kamo. And as we're going to learn together, if let's say the Kohen has multiple machshavas, even if one of them is a chosim mano machshava, if it also is a chosim kamo machshava, that removes the bite of pigel. Meaning it's still going to be pigel, but not it's not going to result in pigel major, it's not going to be a chosim mano, kares-bearing type of pigel. We'll see all this together inside. Ketzad, krav hamatikim mitzvaso. So here we go now with, what is an example where you did everything correctly? Kamatz b'shtika, nasim b'kliva holof, v'hikter chutzuz manu. Let's say you did the kemitza b'shtika. In other words, you were quiet when you did the kemitza. Quiet just simply means you didn't foul anything up yet. You did it correctly. And then you either, now again, the word over here is or, the conjunction is or. Then you either put into a kli, meaning the kiddush hakometz, or you walked it over, or you burned it, chutzuz mano, with an intention of chutzuz mano. So you did the first avoda correctly, and then any one of the other three avodas, two, three, or four, done with a machshava chutzuz mano. Oh, shekhamas chutzuz mano, or let's say you do the kemitza chutzuz mano. And nasa mekliva, holech vehikter b'shtika. Oh, shekhamas v'nasa mekliva, holech vehikter chutzuz mano, zeo shekara v'amater kemitzvaso. So this is where it's done correctly, but let's be clear, correctly meaning where one of the avodas had a machshava chutzuz mano, the other avodas were done correctly, meaning with no other machshava, and this is an example of successful pigel. It's not the kind of success we want, but in other words, but this is going to result in pigel, and pigel within Issur Kares. Ketzad lo karav matir kemitzvaso. What are examples where I have a machshava of pigol, but I also have another machshava coming along with it, and therefore it's going to not result in a successful pigol. So for example, kametz chosim kamo, let's say you do the kametz and the kohen has an articulation. I plan on eating this outside its prescribed place. And by the way, a mincha, remember, a mincha is kachi kadashim. There's only one place where you can eat the mincha. That's in the azara. You cannot eat the mincha outside of the azara. And also because it's kachi kadashim, can only be eaten by zichrei kohuna. Okay, so let's say the kohen says during the kemitza, I'm going to eat it beyond its prescribed place, and nasan b'kliva holech v'hitter chutzas mano. And then while doing any one of the subsequent avodas, the kohen also has a machshav of chutzas mano. Oh, shekametz chutzas mano, nasan b'kliva holech v'hitter chutzim kamo. Or we can even invert this; it doesn't matter. If let's say the kemitza was done chutzas mano, and then the kiddush hakometz or the holacha or the haktar was done chutzim kamo. Oh, shekametz nasan b'kliva holech v'hitter chutzim kamo. Or the kemitza, or the kiddush kli, or the halacha, or the haktar was done chutzim kamo in conjunction with any of the other avodas being chutzim mano. Zeh shelo karav hamater kemitzvaso. So this is an example where you're not going to result in a successful pigol, meaning pigol over here meaning pigol major, meaning it's still going to be disqualified as the mission itself is going to articulate, but it's not going to result in an Isser Kares, because an Isser Kares is only when it's Chutz Lizmano and no other Machshava gets mixed in with any of the other Avodas. Next example, says the Mishnah. Minchas Chote, Minchas Kanaos. Let's say the Mincha of a sinner, or the Mincha of a Sota. She comes from Shelo Lishman. Now here, as we have learned in the beginning of the Masechta, here a Shelo Lishman Machshava, where let's say the Kohen has another mincha in mind while doing this particular mincha, disqualifies both the mincha of the chote and the mincha of the sota. And if you remember the beginning of the Masechta, mincha of a chote makes perfect sense. It's just like a carbon chatos. Carbon chatos, shelo lishma, is pasul. Mincha sota, so we pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, it's a chiddush. On our own, we wouldn't have said that, but we had a drasha. The Gemara has a drasha earlier in the Masechta that even by mincha sota, a shinui kodesh will disqualify. So minchas chote, minchas kanosha, comes from shalolishman. So let's say the kemitza was done shalolishma. So already now that's a machshava sapsul, a machshava that disqualifies. And nasan b'kliva holik v'hikter chutzas mano, and any one of the subsequent avodas, the kohen also now has a machshava of chutzas mano. Oh, shekamas chutzas mano, or let's say the kemitza was done chutzas mano, and nasan b'kliva holik v'hikter shalolishman, and then the machshava shalolishman happens during any one of the subsequent avodas, during avodas 2, 3, or 4. Oh, shekamas v'nasan b'kliva holik v'hikter shalolishman. It doesn't matter when the shalolishman happened. If it happened during any one of the avodas, and then on another avoda, you also have the machshava of shalolish of chutzas mano, zeh shelo karav hamater kemitzvaso. This is going to be another example where, because there was another machshava that disqualifies, so even though he had during any one of the four avodas a machshava of chutzas mano, but because it's intermingled with another machshava that disqualifies, so therefore it will not result in pigol major. It won't be a kares bearing pigol. Obviously, the Mishnah could not use the examples of other menachos because, as we learned in the first Mishnah, by other menachos, so a machshava of shelo lishmo does not disqualify the karban. It detaches it, it disconnects it from the owner, but it doesn't disqualify. Next in the Mishnah, lechol kezayis b'chutz, kezayis lamachar, kezayis lamachar, kezayis b'chutz. Rashi over here points out that in this third example, the Kohen is having the dual machshava even in one avoda. So Rashi says it very clearly. Rashi is a little bit below where we are in the Mishnah. Rashi did Ramaschu Kizayis Bechutz Kizayis Lamacher Chishe Ba'achas Avodos Beis Machshavos. Even while doing one avoda, the Kohen is now articulating two different thoughts. Chutz Zmano V'Chutz Demkamo. So he's having a dual machshava. When I say dual, meaning not at the same time, but in other words, but doesn't matter. In other words, back to back within one avoda. Up until now in the Mishnah, one machshava is during one avoda, and another machshava is during a subsequent avoda. Over here at this juncture of the Mishnah, says Rashi, here having the two machshavas within one avoda. So who the Palag Rav Yehuda debasa kamaisa azlinan, avabechad avoda moda kamashmalan. And the point over here is is that we're going to see the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in just a moment. If you remember, we saw Rabbi Yehuda back in Zvachim as well, and Rabbi Yehuda would not agree even in such a scenario as well. We'll get to Rabbi Yehuda in just a moment. But anyway, the point of clarification I just wanted to make is that we are now even having both machshavas in one avoda. So lecho kezayis, back to the Mishnah. Lecho kezayis b'chutz, kezayis l'macher. Kezayis l'macher, kezayis b'chutz. Kechatzi zayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis l'macher. Kechatzi zayis l'macher, kechatzi zayis b'chutz. Pasul ve'im bo kares. So here, it does not result in kares. Because again, machshava pigol that results in kares is only when it is a undiluted machshava of chutzuzmana with no other machshava that disqualifies occurring, not in a subsequent avoda, not even in the same avoda. Also, the Mishnah is pointing out that let's say that even if he wants to combine chatzi zayis, a half a kezayis for tomorrow and a chatzi zayis outside, that also doesn't combine as well. But even though it doesn't combine vis-a-vis kares, it will still combine vis-a-vis disqualification. Amar of Yehuda Zaklal. And now the Mishnah over here introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we saw this back in Zvachim. We're seeing it again in Menachos. In Machshavas Hazman, Kadmon L'Machshavas HaMakom, Pigol V'Chayev Mela Karis. In Machshavas HaMakom, Kadmon L'Machshavas Hazman, Pasul V'Ein Bo Karis. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that unlike the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, where if there is a Ta'arovis, a mixture of Machshavas, it does not matter what the order is, it doesn't matter which one comes first. If there's a Ta'arovis, it removes pigol major. It will never result in kares. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this point. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the first machshava that disqualifies is a machshava chutzuzmano, so that sets the stage of what it will be, as long as the other avodas are done. And even if there is a mixture of another machshava during either this avoda or even a subsequent avoda, if the first machshava is chutzuzmano, that sets now this mincha into a kares bearing pigol. So the chachamim amrim, and the chachamim disagrees. If it's a pasul ve'im bo kares, and the chachamim say no, it doesn't. Order doesn't matter. In other words, even if the chutz mana comes before the chutzim kamo, but because there's a tarovis, so therefore it won't result in pigol major. It will only be pigol minor. The classic question, which the Gemara is not going to ask, is that the chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are repeating what we learned together in the Tanakhama. Meaning everything, that last line of the Mishnah, v'chachamim omrim, that's just simply a reiteration of the Tanakhama. And generally speaking, we don't expect our Mishnayos to say anything which is extra superfluous. What's that last line doing there? So Tosos is bothered by that question. Tosos, top Tosos on the Amud, v'chachamim omrim, v'im tamar hainu Tanakhama. So isn't the Chacham just restating the Tanakhama? Using a Gemara, the Gemara Nida as the basis for the answer. The answer is that just to establish that the halacha is in fact like the Chachamim, like the Tanakhama, and not like Rav Yehuda. Okay, which I don't know why we would have thought otherwise, but so suggests Tosfos. Okay, Ibai Lahu. We start now with the Gemara, and here we go. Okay, the point that Gemara is about to make is going to be subtle, and admittedly, the rest of today's sugya, the rest of today's daf, is going to be a little bit tricky. But let's all follow together. Okay, it's going to take a little bit to wrap our heads around the rest of today's daf. Now, you remember we had just a couple of days ago. I'll cite the page. It wasn't that long ago. On Tesamad Aleph. So we had a number of debates between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So what happens if I lose any of the mincha before kmitza is done? So Rav Yochanan, again, I'm just going to focus on the opinion of Rav Yochanan, and with just to help ourselves get set up for the Gemara. So Rav Yochanan says, if you lost some of the mincha before the kmitza is done, it's not a big deal. Go home, get more flour, bring it over here. You can easily replenish it. Because according to Rav Yochanan, it's not yet been koveya, even though you put into a klisharis, that's not the kviyus. Rav Yochanan says the koveya is doing the kmitza. So any flour lost before taking the kmitza off is not a big deal, just replace it. Good. Next, what if after the kmitza is done, now I lost some of the flour of the shirayim? After the kmitza was done, but before the kmitza is burnt, and I lost some of the shirayim. So this too was a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, go forward with the kmitza. Because the kmitza was taken off while the mincha was intact, even though subsequent to the removal of the kmitza, I lost some of the shirayim, doesn't matter. You could still burn the kmitza. And Reish Lakish disagrees, but again, we're going to follow the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Okay. Those were the debates that we saw back on Testament Aleph. There's actually a third debate, but we don't need that for now. We need that in general, but not for now. Then then if you remember, the Gemara had a follow-up question. So let's assume like Rav Yochanan that if I'm chaser, if I lose some of the shirayim between the kmitza and the haktara, so Rav Yochanan clearly states that I'm burning the kmitz. That's clear. Okay, and then what about the shirayim? Can I consume the shirayim? Well, Rav Yochanan himself didn't say. And if you remember, we had a debate on that very issue in terms of whether or not Rav Yochanan would allow you to eat the shirayim. If you think about it, really, it's a funny question, meaning it's a debate, meaning there's no way around it. It's a machlokas. But it's a funny question, meaning generally speaking, what's the purpose of offering the kmitza? It's a matir for the rest of the mincha. The burning of the kmitza is a matir for the shirayim. So if Rav Yochanan is saying that you're allowed to burn the kometz, isn't by that, by definition, saying that you're allowed to eat the shirayim? So I'm just advocating, I'm arguing that it's easier to hear the idea that you're allowed to eat the shirayim. However, we also learned that not everyone's in agreement, and some say that, no, the only thing Rav Yochanan allows you to do is burn the kometz, but that's it, you're not allowed to eat the shirayim. Okay. So, with all that stated, ibai lehu. Now let's turn our attention to our Gemara. You're based on Amud Aleph, and we're at the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to ask the following question. L'divrei Omer Shiraim, Shechasu ben Kmitza La'Aktara, Makter Kometz Alayim. Okay, so, meaning, let's assume like Rav Yochanan, that be after the Kmitza, but before I burn the Kometz, so I lost some of the Shiraim, so well, let's assume like Rav Yochanan, we're still going to burn the Kometz. Fine. V'kaimalan, and it's been established. Now it's funny, the Gemara here says V'kaimalan, it's been established. Earlier in the Gemara, we said it was a machlokus, but okay. Again, let's just assume. The osu shirayim asurim be'achila, you're not allowed to eat the shirayim. Okay, good. So let's assume like that. So now, ma'u de'danilu haktara. So now, as far as the burning of the kometz is concerned, so now, le'mikbe'inu be'pigo, v'lefkinu mide mi'ila. I wonder, says the Gemara, I can't eat the shirayim. Right? Let's assume that you can't eat the shirayim. So I wonder, if I'm now burning the kometz, which according to Rav Yochanan, I'm entitled to do, I'm supposed to do. So in the burning of the kmitza, this kmitza, which will not result in the consumption of the shirayim. So we are in a funny situation halachically. You burn the kmitza where we're supposed to do it, but at the same time it doesn't allow for consumption of the shirayim. So I wonder, if I am burning this kometz, and the kohen while burning the kmitza says, you know what, I'm going to eat the shirayim chutz zmano. Is that going to result in pigel? And you realize now, it's a real conundrum. It's like, I was going to say it's an impossible question. It's not impossible. I mean, the Gemara is going to entertain it. But it's a really difficult question to answer. Because on one hand, burning the kmitza is what we're supposed to do. On the other hand, you're not allowed to eat the shirayim. So if the Kohen now says, while burning the kometz, I plan on eating the shirayim chutzos manu chutzim kamo, yeah, but the machshava is going on shirayim that are not allowed to be consumed. So is such a machshava going to be significant in that it's going to inject pigol into this carbon? Hear it out first. And a follow-up question, which is really a corollary question. And on top of that, Mao de tahanilu aktara le mikveina bepigol. I'm sorry, I read that already. Velifkino mide mi'ila. And a corollary question as well, is mi'ila going to be removed? Okay, let's reset ourselves up on mi'ila. Right? Let's brush up on mi'ila. Mi'ila by a carbon is the isser that anything that's going onto the mizbeach or destined to go onto the mizbeach is subject to mi'ila. Now, by Bedek HaBayis, the rules are different, but we're not talking about Bedek HaBayis. We're talking about a carbon. It's a carbon mincha. Now, here's what we know. That when it comes to a carbon mincha, so when it goes into a kli sharis, so now it has kedusha saguf. Right now, the entire mincha is subject to me'ila. However, the kometz is going to be removed. The kometz is going to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. Once the kometz is burnt on top of the mizbeach, that allows for the consumption of the shirayim. With the consumption of the shirayim, obviously, the iser of me'ila is now going to be removed. So, here now is a corollary question. Here we're in a situation where I'm supposed to burn the kemitzah, but at the same time, it's not matir the shirayim. Won't allow me to eat the shirayim. And I say me, I mean a kohen. It won't allow a kohen to eat the shirayim. I wonder, as a corollary question, so now, even though the kohanim are not allowed to eat the shirayim, but maybe me'ilah still goes away. Meaning, because the kemitzah over here is a sanctioned kemitzah, you are allowed and supposed to burn the kometz. So despite the fact that the Kohanim can't eat the Shirayim, but still, maybe the Isra of Me'ila goes away. And really what's at root over here is as follows. Is that vis-a-vis the Kohanim's ability to eat the Shirayim, let's say no. Right? In other words, Kaimalan. The Gemara says, we know the answer is no. They can't eat the Shirayim. Again, we're talking about a really limited case, just to remind everybody. We're talking about a case where the Shirayim are chaser between the Kemitzah and the Haktara. Fine. So the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, where you still burn the kometz, and the halacha, as we have established, is that you can't eat the shirayim. So fine, so the kohanim can't eat it. But at the same time, I am burning the kometz, and in a sanctioned manner, meaning that's what I'm supposed to do. So is it going to have the regular effects of kemitzah, which is that it would result in pigol, and it removes the me'il of shirayim? So on one hand, we're basically saying, well, if the kemitzah is a sanctioned kemitzah, so then it should have the regular effects of kemitzah, in that it should be able to affect pigel, and it should remove the isra of me'ila. On the other hand, I'm not allowed to eat the shirayim. And since I'm not allowed to eat shirayim, so how can you have a machshava of pigel on something that we're not allowed to eat? And how can the isra of me'ila be removed on something that the kohanim are not allowed to eat? So we're really now stuck in this conundrum of, on one hand, kemitzah is being offered, on the other hand, you're not allowed to eat the shirayim. I'm Rav Huna. And so to answer the question now, so the Gemara is going to weigh in and bring in now a machlokish between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. And again, another brief introduction. Let's say that you take the carbon outside of the Azara. So we know that the carbon becomes disqualified and that psul is called Yotzei. Okay. Even though it's a carbon shlamim, it being removed from the Azara, and even let's even go so far as to say it's removed from the Azara, so right, so then it becomes disqualified to the psul of Yotzei. I'm talking now before the sprinkling of the blood. Okay. And so now it becomes a psul through the psul of Yotzei, but it's still within the environs of Yerushalayim. And then the Kohen takes the blood and sprinkles it on the Mizbeach. Now, by a regular shlamim that's done correctly, is that going to remove me'ila? And the answer, of course, is yes. Meaning, once now the shlamim meat is allowed to be consumed by its owner and the kohanim, it's split between the two, so obviously now the isra me'ila goes away. It's no longer kashi Hashem, it's no longer going on the mizbeach. That's if the shlamim was offered correctly. But let's say the carbon was taken outside the azara before Zrikas Adam, and you sprinkle the blood. Well, the carbon already now underwent the disqualification of Yotzei. But will at least the Zrika be able to remove the Isser of Me'ila? It's a very similar question. In other words, something that I can't eat, but now I do the Avoda correctly. In other words, you sprinkle the blood, you're supposed to sprinkle the blood. Will it remove the Isser of Me'ila of carbon that has been taken out of the Azara? And it's machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Zrika will remove the Isra of Me'ila. Or to use the terminology that we're going to see in the Gemara, Zrika mo'eles liyotzei. It's effective even for a karbanos that underwent Yotzei, the psul of Yotzei. And Rabbi Eliezer takes the other position. No. In other words, I can't eat this karban, and so therefore the Zrika is not going to be removing the Isra of Me'ila. Okay. And so now, at first glance, if I didn't have the Amoraim, which we're about to see right now, you'd say that our question right here is really the same question that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing. Meaning, by a mincha, where the kometz is to be offered, and that's the correct thing to do, but the shirayim are not to be eaten, so this is basically analogous. So now as the kometz is being burnt, and I'm not allowed to eat the shirayim, is that kometz going to be removing the isra of me'ila? I would say, again, without the amorayim, which we're going to see in just a moment, I'd say that, well, Rabbi Kiva, who says that Zrika is effective even for the disqualification of Yotzei, would say the same thing over here. that the burning of the kometz would be effective for the shirayim. And I would say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, no. If zrika can't help a carbon that underwent the psul of yotzei, so then the haktara over here will not be effective for the shirayim that cannot be consumed. That's what I would have said, but who cares what I would have said? In other words, the Amoraim now are going to weigh in on this issue, and the Amoraim are going to say, I don't think the two machloksim are necessarily connected. Let's start. Amar Rav Huna. Afilu Rabbi Kiva damar zrika malos liyotzei. So Rav Huna says like this. Even if we adopt Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint regarding zrika sadam for a carbon that underwent through the disqualification of yotzei. Did I say effective? If I didn't, so let me edit myself, even though I don't remember. I'm a Rav Huna. I feel the Rabbi Kiva damar zrika malos liyotzei. Even if we take Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint that zrika is effective for the psul of yotzei, hani miliyotzei diista beinei upasul machmas davar acherhu. So there, you know why Rabbi Kiva is going to look at such a zrika as being effective to remove me'ila? Because the carbon's still in this world; it's still intact. Granted, it's disqualified, but an external disqualification. That's the psul of yotzei. But if we are talking about the shirayim of a mincha, that now is chaser. Literally, it's not here. Not all of it, meaning still some of it's here, but some of it's missing. So this is the psul of chaser, which is a psul de guf. It's an actual disqualification inherent to the shirayim itself. So lama hani lehaktar. So there, Rav Huna would say that even Rabbi Kiva would say that the burning of the Ketaris, even though, not the burning of the Ketaris, sorry, the burning of the Kemitza, even though it is absolutely what you're supposed to do, but it's not going to remove the Mi'ila from the Shirayim, because the psul of the Shirayim is Begufo. It's intrinsic within the Shirayim. Amalei Rava Adarabba. Rava says, you know what? I could see this just the opposite. I feel the Rabbi Elazar Dar Meinz Rika Malos Liyotzei. Let me start off with Rabbi Eliezer's position, that if a carbon underwent the psul of yotzei, so Rabbi Eliezer says zrika is not going to remove me'ila, zrika won't change the status. There was me'ila on the carbon, there still is an isra of me'ila on the carbon. But hani me'ila yotzei delesa bifnim. So I would say that that's for the psul of yotzei because it's no longer in the azara. Zrika only recognizes those items that are in the azara. Avachisar and diisa bifnim ma'an yalei aktara. But if the psul is chaser, whatever's left over the shirayim is still in the azara. So in other words, the burning of the kometz will be effective for that which remained in the azara, even though it's the psul of chaser. So Rav Huna and Rav are basically arguing and deliberating. Would Rabbi Akiva side move over to the other side? Or do I see Rabbi Eliezer moving over to the other side? And Rava and Rav Huna are arguing these two positions. And now here comes probably the hardest part of today's daf. I'm a Rava mena aminala. And Rava says, and how do I know? How do I know that I'm right? Now again, Rava's position is that even when you are Rabbi Eliezer, and even when you're taking the position that Zrika is not going to be effective for Yotzei, the psul of Yotzei, I would say that over here, the burning of the kometz would be effective for the shirayim. I would say that, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because whatever's left here is still in the azara. That's Rava's position. And even though, of course, he can't eat the shirayim, because again, it's chaser, but still, the burning of the kometz was good enough to remove the isra mi'ila. And by the way, as part of the corollary, also to create pigel. But we're just focusing right now on the removal of mi'ila. How do I know that did not? And so in order to establish this proof, what we're going to do is a side-by-side comparison. We're going to take a look at our Mishnah, again, and then we're going to put alongside it a Braisa by Rabbi Chiya. And there's going to be just one subtle difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and from that subtle difference, Rav is now going to create an entire proof. Okay. So first, let's take a look at our Mishnah. So, numerous examples that were given in our Mishnah, but if you remember the Mishnah opened up by introducing us to the pigel, to the creation of pigel, and if the shirayim are going to be consumed outside, or a kezias of the shirayim are going to be eaten outside. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Good. Utsini Rabbi Chiya. Now, when Rabbi Chiya taught basically the same point in his Braisa, now again, Rabbi Chiya's Braisa usually complements our Mishnah, but a side-by-side comparison, HaKometz is a Mincha, Rabbi Chiya in the Braisa also has basically the same lesson of our Mishnah, but with one subtle difference. V'lotani o kezayis. But Rabbi Chiya in his Braisa did not have the words o kezayis. And so now, curiosity. Why, when Rabbi Chiya introduced us to the point of pigol, why didn't he say or a kezayis? So here now begins the speculation. My time. Lo tani o kezayis. How come he didn't say that? Lavka gon shechisru shirayim v'kam ala kezayis. Oh, so here now we're going to speculate. And we're going to suggest that maybe the case in question over here is that after the kemitzah has been removed, so now what happened is that I lost some of the shirayim. In other words, chaser. And how much is now remaining? Let's say a full kezayis is remaining of the shirayim. V'kevan de'bematan kli, behilachu v'haktara, lo masnile. And as far as the subsequent avodas of kiddush ha-komets and holacha and the burning of the komets, so lo mahanile. So over there, you can't go through with these three. O kezayis ashirayim b'kemitza nami lecho shirayim lo tani o kezayis. That's why, by the kemitza as well, you can't have the words o kezayis. Meaning, consider, if that, let's say before the kemitza was done, I'm missing some of the mincha. We're all in agreement. We all know that you can't. You can add, right? Right, you can add, but if you don't add, we're all in agreement, you can't do the kemitza. That's the only point of debate is, if let's say it becomes chaser after the kemitza was done. So, in other words, the reason why Rabbi Chiya in his Braisa didn't include the words okazayas is because it won't work in every one of the four avodas. It may work in avodas 2, 3, and 4, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, but it won't work in avoda number 1, because in avoda number 1, that's the actual kemitza. If I'm missing any by that point, everyone agrees you can't do the kemitza at that point in time. Fine. So now, Alma Mahanyalei Haktara. That's the only reason why Rabbi Chiya didn't include in the Braisa. But here is what Rabbi Chiya is therefore saying. It's only, the phrase okazayis is only not in the Braisa, only because I can't plug it into all four avodas. But let's say now avodas 2, 3, or 4, okay, where in theory it would work, meaning the burning of the comets would work. And in theory it would work, and what does that mean? Meaning in the context of our Mishnah, it would create pigel. Which now means that if the kemitza was done over a chaser, a shirayim, so even though the shirayim cannot be consumed, and the Gemara is making a lot of assumptions, by the way, meaning the Gemara is assuming that we're holding like Rav Yochanan, and we're holding within Rav Yochanan that you're not allowed to eat the shirayim. But again, I understand there is a lot of speculation in order to arrive at this proof. But if all this is true, or I'm now doing the kemitza of a mincha, on a mincha that underwent chaser post-kemitza, so the assumption now is that the only reason why it's not included in the braisa is that because I can't plug it into all four cases. But in cases 2, 3, and 4, when meaning, if I lost some of the shirayim after the kemitza, so then the kemitza would work. Work meaning it would create pigel. So we have just established, again, making all these assumptions, that if kemitza was done over a mincha that's chaser, so pigol is going to be created. And this would therefore be a good proof for Rava that even if you're Rabbi Eliezer, and even if you say that Zrika won't work for Yotzei, but it would work for Chaser. So Amar Le, Alma, Mahanya Le Haktara. So Amar Le Abaye, Lo. It's like Abaye says, you didn't have to do all that within the Braisa. Meaning, it could very well be that Rabbi Chiya didn't have the word Okazayis, but for a totally different reason. And it could very well be Amalei Abai, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, did not. Let's remind each other what we learned back in Zvachim. Back in Zvachim we learned, and I'll just read the Mishnah. HaKomets V'alavon V'Aktara U'Minchas Kohanim U'Minchas Kohen Mashiach U'Minchas Nesachim. If I have any one of these five items, what are the five items have in common? It's burnt in its entirety. Kemitza burned in its entirety. Lavona burned in its entirety. Ketoros burned in its entirety. Minchas Kohanim, same. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, I'm sorry, Minchas Nesachim, same. All these items are burnt in their entirety. Sheker Me'achas Mehem Kezayis B'chutz Chayev. Now, if I take a kezayis of it and offer it outside of the Azara, we're going back to the 13th and 14th Prakim of Zvachim. So in other words, halah b'chutz, offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash, even a kazayis of it offered outside, you're going to be chayev. And Rabbi Elazar, poter. Achi yakriv is kulo. Rabbi Elazar says, no. You are only subject to the kares penalty of halah b'chutz, only if I burn all of it outside. Kevan. And why did Rabbi Chiya take out the words O Kezayis from his Braisa? Because Rabbi Chiya subscribes to Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, remember, our Mishnah is talking about the burning of the Kemitza. And according to Rabbi Elazar, it's all or nothing. There's no such thing as burning a Kezayis of Kometz. It is not recognized according to Rabbi Elazar. You either burn all of it or there's nothing more to talk about. So since we can't attach the words Okazayis to the Kometz, that's why Rabbi Yechiya excluded it from his Braisa, having nothing to do with the Psul of Chaser and all the assumptions that Rava made. So E Rabbi Elazar, Hai Lakter Komsa Lakter Komsa Levantami Ba'ilei, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If you want to tell me that Rabbi Yechiya is working, is subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, so burning the Kometz by itself isn't even enough. Meaning in order to be subject to the penalty of Halah B'chut, you have to burn the Kometz and the Lavona. Because again, you have to burn everything that is burnt. And by standard Mincha, what is burnt by standard Mincha? The Kometz and the Lavona. Did none. And the Gemara says, and here's another Mishnah that we saw back in Zvachim. HaKometz V'Lavona Sheikr V'Zecha Mehem B'chut Chayev. That if I take either the Kometz or the Lavona, either or, and burn it outside of the Azara, subject to the Halah B'chut penalty. And Rebbe Elazar, Poter, Achir, Akri, Vishnayim. And there's Rebbe Elazar again saying no. That since these are items that are burnt in its entirety, therefore you're only subject to Halah B'chutz, only when I burn both of them outside. So if you're telling me that Rebbe Chiya is subscribing to Rebbe Eliezer, why just mention Kometz? Mention Kometz and Lavona. The Gemara gives an answer. Lo nitzricha ela lekometz minchas chote. Well, maybe Rebbe Chiya's Braisa was talking about the mincha of a sinner, where there's no lavona. The Gemara says, really? You mean to tell me that Rabbi Chiya is going to construct an entire brisa, and all just limited to talking about minchas chote? Meaning it's a brisa that speaks about the general principles of pigul. And now, in order to fit into a particular position, you tell me that he's only talking about minchas chote? And the Gemara says Gemara says that is a tenable position. Yeah, we could say that. In fact, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, teaches us that the entire Braisa of Rabbi Elazar, the entire Braisa of Rabbi Chiya is in fact subscribing to the opinion of the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so basically, Rabbi Chiya did not have the words V'chein Kezayis. And what we just did in the last 20 lines of Gemara, starting on the Amud Aleph and ending right here, is we swung a couple of directions in terms of why he didn't add those words. Rava wanted to build an entire building based on, and to conclude that the reason why he didn't have those words is to teach us that even if I do kemitza over something which is chaser, the kemitza is going to be effective vis-a-vis pigul, and subsequently also to the removal of the isser of me'ilah. Although, as we just pointed out, it could be that Rabbi Chiya left out those words for a totally different reason, and so the Rava's proof really goes away. Hadar Amar Rava, the Gemara says, now, Rava actually, upon further review, actually thought differently. Lav Milsi Hidamri. He says, the next day in Shir, you know what? Yesterday, I had the Shir, I quoted the Mishnah, I quoted the Braisa, I compared the two. Rava says, you know what? Right, gentlemen, I take it all back. I take it all back. Titania, we learned in the Braisa. Kodesh Kadashim Hi, Shim Nifrasa, Chasmeem, Chalaseh, Kulam Psulos. Look at the Braisa. The Braisa says that it's Kodesh Kadashim Hi. It's a reference to the Lechem upon him. So, if one of the breads was to crumble, so they all become disqualified. Hayatzas, Hani, De'ik, Gavai, Ksheras. Now, we are certainly, what the Braisa is telling us is that if I have the Lechem upon him, all 12 loaves are considered a unit. It's a unit. In other words, they're all considered shirayim. And therefore, if one or two of the loaves were to crumble, meaning now I don't have the full 12 loaves, so that's the psul of chaser, and they all will become disqualified. Obviously, we're talking about before the burning of the 2 spoonfuls of lavona. Now, What the Braisa would seem to indicate, what's the implied statement, is that if it were another psul, it wouldn't be so bad. Let's say, for example, Hayasas Hani De'ika Gavai Ksheiros. Let's say I took a loaf and I removed it outside of the Azara. Okay. So in other words, seemingly, then, even though now one of the loaves becomes pasul, but I'm going to say it even though I don't really mean it. A lighter psul.
How can you say that?
I know I said it. I'm going to take it back. Don't worry. So, man shama le damer zrika malos liyotze Rabbi Kiva hi. Now, if we're right, and that's a big if, but if we're right, so then what did we just learn together? Basically, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Kiva says that zrika is going to be helpful for the psul of yotze. Now, I understand we're not talking about a carbon over here, but the principles are the same. Meaning the burning of the two spoonfuls of Lavona, of the Lechem upon him, so that's the Haktara. And if we're talking about the Psul of Chaser, no good. If we're talking about the Psul of Yosei, well, that's okay. Meaning, because it's following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And so if all this is right, and again, it's a big if all this is right, so Rava says, what did we just learn together? What we just learned together is that the burning of the Ketores, I keep saying that, the burning of the comets. In this case, we're talking about lechem apanim, so we're talking about the lavona. But okay, I'll just say it simple. The burning of the comets would be effective for the psul of yotze because we subscribe to Rabbi Kiva, but it would not be effective for the psul of chaser. Okay, and that's why Rava says. And so, gentlemen, I take it back. But the Gemara says, "V'kam anir for salo." So Amalei Abayi Mikatani Ayatzas Delmaha Nidmes Hanach Ksheres. So Abayi says again to Rava, look, what you're doing is you're speculating. Meaning, I know what the Braisa says. The Braisa is talking about where I lost one or two of the loaves, which is the psul of Chaser. And the Braisa is saying, but another psul may be okay. So you jump to the psul of Yotzei. Abayi says, don't go there. Go to a different psul. Let's say, for example, the psul of Tuma. My Taima Demaratzit says. Now the psul of Tuma, that's a lighter psul. Now, how can I make that statement? Because we know, we've seen this time and again, that when it comes to the psul of Tuma, so if Tuma goes up onto the Mizbech, shouldn't, but if it does, Ritzui. The Tzitz, the head plate of the Kohen Gadol, is able to affect a Ritzui. Okay, if you understood that, great. If not, not for now. We're well over time right now. Aval Yatzasla, but if, in other words, the psul of Yotzei, no. V'Rabbi Eliezer Hidamer and Zrika Mo'alas Yotzei. And now, if we're right, so in other words, so over here, this Braisa is simply subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Uvidinu di bayle lemisne nami yatzas. And so now, I'll ask you, so if the Braisa is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, so why is the Braisa just giving us the psul of chaser? Meaning, follow through. Meaning, spell it out. If the chalos of the lechem upon him either underwent the psul of chaser, and say it, and it underwent the psul of Yotzei, it shouldn't be good. V'hai diktani nifrasa. So why is the Braisa limiting its comments to just chaser? Hakamash malanda filo nifrasa. Diisa bifnim lama hanyalei haktara. Because what the Braisa feels is that we have a bona fide chiddush over here. What's the chiddush? Like we said earlier, but we're going to say it now again, is that the psul of chaser may not be so bad because whatever's left, at least it's in the Azara. And so the argument you can make is, well, look, whatever's left is here in the Azara, so let the burning of the Kemitza, and again, it's Lechem upon him, so it's really Lavona, but again, I try to keep it simple. Let the burning of the Kemitza be effective for the Shirayim that's in the Azara, albeit it's Chaser. But if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, where Zrika is going to be effective for the disqualification of Yotzei, so let's make the argument that the burning of the comets would be effective for the psul of chaser. We could go along those lines, and the Braisa you quoted simply is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, I admit. There's no bottom line. I admit. What we just went through is difficult Gemara. I don't have to admit it. It's definitely difficult Gemara. But here's what we can say in terms of a summation. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah reintroduced us to Pigel as it relates to a Mincha. And again, with all the rules that we saw back in Zvachim, it's all the same. Take all the rules that we learned back in Zvachim and just apply it to a mincha with the understanding that there are four avodas by a mincha, and they're all pigle sensitive. And again, going through all the rules that we learned back in Zvachim. And then, what the conundrum is, that what filled up the second half of today's daf was a question of what happens when you enter into a scenario where the kmitza is to be burned on the top of the mizbech, but it's not going to allow the kohanim to be eat the shirayim. And again, that subscribes to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint, where if the psul chasar occurs between kometz and aktara, you burn the kometz, but you don't eat the shirayim. So is this kmitza going to have other ramifications? Notably, would it be able to create pigle? Notably, would it be able to remove me'ila? And the Gemara says, I could see Rav Huna and Rava debate and deliberate this very issue. And the degree of difficulty in today's daf comes as a result of trying to bring proofs from various Mishnayos, Braisos, that don't speak about it straightforward, but in other words, but the diukim, the inferences that are learned from them.